is Over the Garden Gate, a program brought to you by the University of California Cooperative Extension Master Gardener Program of Tuolumne County. The mission of the UCCE Master Gardeners is to provide research-based gardening information to the public. If you would like to contact our Master Gardener Program, please call our hotline, which is area code 209-533-5912. The hotline is not manned full-time, but we do pick up our messages and we will get back to you within the week.
Hello, everybody. This is Debbie Powell, the Master Gardener Coordinator for both Calaveras and Tuolumne Counties, and I am at the UCCE office here in downtown Sonora. It's a lovely day. And it's wonderful. I'm talking to Linda Reevely. Hello, Linda.
Hi, Debbie.
How are you?
I'm doing well.
And I haven't seen you for a while. What are you going to talk about today?
Well, lately I have been picking up acorns from my yard and preparing to process them. So today I'd like to talk to you about acorn processing.
Wow, that's wonderful. I think a lot of us have acorns and just...
And want to know what, yeah.
A lot of us, you know, I'm afraid, you know, probably take them somewhere and don't use them.
I know. There's a number of things acorns are really good for. I have a friend who feeds them to pigs.
Okay.
Which creates ham similar to the Serrano hams of Spain, which are also fed on acorns.
Really?
Yeah.
And it
changes the flavor of the meat.
So is it I'm guessing maybe a richer taste?
A little more complex kind of taste. Acorns are not a particularly flavored or strong flavored product.
Okay.
They have a lot of protein and a lot of vitamins.
Really?
They do. And as our local Miwok would attest, we're a mighty good food for keeping people healthy and well over long periods.
Well, that's true. I mean, that was their primary item in their diet.
It was. And they made special baskets for picking them up and leaching them and doing the various processes it takes to actually eat acorns. Acorns are one of the few nuts that we can't just eat because of the high tannic acid.
Okay. And
it would be like eating tea bags.
Ew.
Yeah.
That doesn't sound appetizing.
And real acidic acorns do taste a little bit like tea.
Okay.
You just sort of open them up and taste them when they're raw.
Okay.
So we have noticed in our yard that our dogs like the acorns from a certain tree, which is both instructive and kind of unfortunate because my normally 85-pound dog weighs now about maybe 95.
Wow.
And instead of looking like a cute little round dog, now looks like a furry coffee table because she's gotten kind of square. With extra fat from eating acorns. And this happens to us every year. So I even made acorn muzzle for her the other day because it's really hard to keep her out.
Oh my gosh.
Funny thing. But I've heard all these things about acorns. And as everyone around here who has trees has noticed, this year is probably the most magnificent acorn crop we've had in many, many, many years.
Really?
There are more acorns of greater size than we've ever seen on our property, and we've lived there 10 years.
Oh my gosh.
So,
any idea why?
I have a number of ideas why.
Okay.
But the first and primary, only important one is we've had three pretty decent water years in the winter.
Okay. Right.
And the oak trees are in as good a health right this year as they've ever been in the last 10 or 15 years when it comes to having enough water. And therefore, they're capable of producing a large crop.
Well, that makes sense.
They pollinated late this year because it was so cold during May. But they pollinated very heavily in June, as anyone who has a car that parks under them would attest. There was acorn pollen everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And it's produced these large crops of these beautiful big nuts.
And what kind of oak tree?
Well, we have a number of different oak trees. The one that the dog seems to prefer is a blue oak, but we also have some black oaks on our property that are producing the very large acorns, the biggest acorns I've ever seen come off black acorn or black oaks.
Oh my
some
gosh.
Of these are 3 inches long.
Really?
They're just amazing.
That's huge.
They're huge. You see the squirrel with it, and it looks like, well, I should go stash this somewhere, but I don't have anywhere this big.
Right.
So
They don't seem to even be storing acorns much right now because the acorns are so much bigger than they normally are.
Oh my goodness.
White oak acorns, in my experience, have all been, oh, maybe an inch long sort of a half inch across.
Okay.
And this year they're an inch and a half long and they're almost a full inch across.
Wow.
Much bigger. So it brings to mind that wonderful idea. Let's make acorn flour.
Oh.
Again, a food processing episode of enormous importance in your life. But it kind of fun. And what it starts with is you have to go pick up the acorns.
Okay.
Which is good because that way they won't be sprouting underneath your trees and creating an entire forest of little bitty oaks that will attract deer like instantly.
Mm, you mean the deer love to eat the little tiny sprouts?
They do. They okay. love those little sprouted oak trees and they will come and eat them right off to the ground.
Mm.
Which is kind of an annoying thing. And then they won't have acorns coming up everywhere, which I'm afraid we will this coming year anyhow. No matter what you do, you can't find them all.
Right, right.
So the way I would go about picking a good tree to work under is to choose to get some acorns from different trees, break them open, and then just taste a little bit of the raw meat. And if it has that super tea leaf taste, then you're going to have to leach those acorns seriously to get that tannic acid out of
okay.
them.
Okay.
But if it has a softer taste, you mm-hmm. won't have to put quite so much processing into them.
Meaning leaching.
Leaching.
Okay.
And the way you go about dealing with acorns is you gather them up, sort out all the leaves and stuff that you've picked up with them, wipe them off with a damp cloth. Don't get them wet. I've already made that mistake. Don't get them wet.
What and happens if you get them wet?
The shells get really soft and you can't break them.
Oh.
So you have to dry back out again. And then there's always a possibility you'll mold them if you do that. So basically just wipe them off with a damp cloth and then break them, crack them. You don't have to get them out of the shell, just crack them open. And I have a friend who just sits around when he watches TV and cracks them with a pair of pliers. I have another friend who puts them in a tray and smacks them with a brick, which is what I'm going to try and do.
Huh.
Which is, I just lay out a whole bunch of them in a tray where they can't roll off or get away and just pound on them until you break them. You'll notice if you walk on them, they all crack and pop.
Sure.
They break pretty easily.
Right.
The thing is you don't have to, after that point, you don't have to do a lot of cleany-uppy kind of work. You just have to dehydrate the meat at that point. And you do it with the shells. You don't worry about it. You'll pick those out later.
Okay.
So put them in cookie sheets. Put them in a dryer if you own a dehydrator. And dehydrate them until they're pretty firm, hard little nuggets,
right.
essentially. And then once they're at that point, that's when we start to leach. And we leach them in a number of ways. You can steam leach them with boiling water. There's directions on the internet. Just look it up.
Okay.
Processing acorns. Or you can cold water leach them, which is the way that the most Native Americans did it because it retains a lot more of the nutritional content for the acorns. And to do that, you can put them in a bag. I would suggest if you've ever had a lingerie bag when you did your laundry that's kind of mesh.
Right, netting.
The netting. You need a netting bag.
Okay.
Stick them in there. I have some big ones that came from a dry cleaning business. They've never been dry cleaned, but they came from this business that they use when they process individual garments that belong to, six of these belong to this person, seven of those wrappers, and keeps you straight.
Right.
I have several of those. That's what I'm going to use.
Oh.
And then you have to have them in some situation where you can put water on them, let them soak. You're going to have to dump the water off twice a day and put on fresh water.
Twice a day. So are you thinking
I'm going to do morning and evening.
Morning and evening.
And the point of this is partly if you just leave them in water, only so much acid will leach out. It gets to a kind of stasis point.
Okay.
But in addition, it's more likely to ferment.
Oh, we don't want that.
We don't want that. This is not a fermented food.
Right.
So you want to change the water twice a day. Now, there's a suggested way of doing this that just I thought was a crack up, but I'm not going to do it because I also think it could be no end of trouble, which is to put your bag of acorns in your toilet tank. And every time someone flushes the water in your toilet tank is clean.
Right.
It's perfectly useful for drinking or whatever you might need to in an emergency.
Okay.
But every time you flush, you're flushing that water through your toilet.
Right.
And bringing fresh, clean water in.
It sounds brilliant, but for some reason it just sounds creepy.
I think it's just going to gum up your toilet myself.
I'm thinking, I hate to explain this to a plumber.
I know, there's all those little threads from the bags. I have no idea what happened. I know, it just sounds crazy.
It does sound brilliant at the same time, but it just, it's, yeah. I don't know why, but I just can't think that I would want to do that.
No. Well, you know, but makes perfect sense to not do that. I think just I have a big 5-gallon jug that actually has a spigot on the bottom for making like big bunches of lemonade or ice water.
Oh, yeah.
I'm just going to use that. I'm putting my acorns in.
I could go with
this
that.
Thing. I'm going to put it right over the sink. I'll fill it up, let them leach, open the little spigot, let the water run out, fill it up again, close the spigot, fill it up again.
Right. That's a good point.
And I think that will probably work.
Oh,
and
that sounds great.
Once I've leached them to, and you taste them, you just keep tasting them, they taste mild, kind of nutty, that's the time to stop. You get out your little crumbles, you let them dry off. Again, it's back in the dehydrator, and dry them until they're really pretty firm, and then you can grind them up in your food processor.
Wow.
Or if you have a corn mill, you could use a corn mill. I would not run these through my dedicated flour mill if you are one of those who blue grinds wheat.
I don't have a flour mill.
I do.
Oh, okay.
And it's a stone mill, and it's difficult enough to clean as it is. And these are fairly oily.
Oh,
you don't expect
them,
but this is a fairly oily nut.
Okay.
And so a corn mill that has metal burrs is easy to clean. A stone mill isn't so easy to clean. So,
I love using the acorns for food. I just love
it. I know. And there's wonderful recipes. A couple of years ago, I had acorn gnocchi.
I have no idea what that
which
is.
Which are little puff, kind of like little pillows, normally made out of potatoes.
Oh.
But these were made out of acorn meal, and they
were
in brown butter, and they were absolutely delicious. Served to us by Todd Stolp, who used to be the county medical director here in Tuolumne. Fabulous meal. But I also saw some lovely acorn noodle recipes.
Oh my gosh.
That sound like they'd be really good.
That sounds
and they
really
have a
yummy.
Very nice taste, and you can make bread or any other number of products.
So you
with
can
these.
Make bread out of the flour.
So the big takeaway here is they're on the ground. You need to wipe them off.
Okay.
You need to remember that leaching is important and you should do it. I know a lot of people don't, but it's not the healthiest thing to eat that much tannic acid.
Okay.
And that when you grind them, you're going to end up with two different levels of stuff. One level is the powder that will come off that you can get through a strainer, and the other will be what we call acorn grits, which can be boiled to make mush.
Ooh.
And
I'm not sure if mush sounds good, but...
Well, mush with maple syrup and butter is
that's
one
true.
Of the great lovelies of the morning.
That's
so.
True. That's
and acorn
true.
Mush is delicious. So.
Okay.
So there you go. That's my current project. Oh, third caveat, pick at least a gallon of these things, because all this is a lot of trouble, and you may as well have enough to actually count.
Okay. So it takes probably more acorns than you think.
Yeah.
Okay, great advice.
Like all and, things like this, it takes more acorns than you think.
And I wonder, maybe at some point I can taste part of your project.
Okay. Sounds like a good idea.
All right. Thank you, Linda.
You're welcome, Debbie.
Okay.
Happy
Bye-bye.
Acorns.
Yes. Bye-bye.
Hello, this is Linda Reevely coming to you from the UCCE Master Gardeners of Tuolumne County, and today I would like to talk to you about a book. Yes, indeed, it's book review time. The book I'd like to review is called Sharing the Knowledge, Gardening in the Mother Lode. This is a book produced by the UCCE Master Gardeners of Tuolumne County. It is for use here in the county, and it covers topics that are unique and special to our county. What I'd like to begin with is telling you kind of an overview of what the book contains. It has help for the new foothill gardener. It has gardening over the seasons. It has a chapter on the earth. It has a chapter on native plants. It has a chapter on the pantry, which are growing vegetables in the mother lode, and also pruning fruit trees. It has flowers, shrubs, and grasses, and tells you how to manage those things. It has a chapter on trees, one on water, one on designing gardens, one on the gardening good guys, one on annual animal challenges, both wild and domestic, one on pests in the garden. This is not your four-year-old. This is actual pests in the garden. It has smart living and sustainable living, healthy gardening, and the master gardeners in your neighborhood, which is a chapter telling you how to get hold of master gardeners and how to seek their advice if you have gardening problems. So let's go back to the beginning and look first of all at some of the help for the new foothill gardener. What you need to know when you move to the foothills is that this is an environment quite unlike any you have ever lived in, unless you have lived in the foothills. This is not like the Bay Area. This is not like Nevada. This is not like Southern California. This is the foothills. It is a unique environment, and it has many microclimates. Before you begin to develop or plant your yard, you really need to become aware of what the microclimates and the macroclimate in our area are like. It also can help you understand that sometimes what looks like a small job can become a very large job in the foothills based on a number of situations, not the least of which is the presence of oak trees, which we like to preserve and keep because they contribute greatly to our natural biome, but they also are very beautiful and it would be a shame to lose them. And if you don't garden correctly underneath them, you will kill them. It also has a wonderful little article on good tools make happy gardeners, and I'm going to look into that with you in a moment. It also has one that I certainly relate to called Plants We Have Killed, and I think that we can all really take some solace in knowing that even master gardeners kill plants. The first chapter that I was going to talk to you about, however, was the quick little chapter on good tools make happy gardeners. Let me turn to that page and we can have a little discussion about this information. Everybody has their own favorite gardening tools. Some of the ones mentioned here might not be your favorite gardening tool, but they certainly have some merit and should be considered. The first one they list are some geared loppers. If you live here in the mother lode and you have a garden, you are going to need loppers. Loppers are those long handle cutting tools that you use to trim off branches. You want to find a really good one with good long handles on them. The longer the handles, the greater the amount of force you can apply. Don't, however, ever force your loppers went to the point that they begin to turn sideways, because that will undo or break them. You want to be careful, but really, really good loppers, such as the Fiskars geared loppers, are a great investment. One of those things that you might want to consider looking at are the Corona extendable handle tools. These are tools that you can have a long handle on, such as a three-tined hoe, which you can clean out debris around plants. There's also a leaf rake, a hoe, a cultivator, and a trowel. I have the trowel. We call it the red handle trowel, but it's really because it has this longer handle. It is enormously valuable for digging small holes, for cleaning out holes, for used in planting. I really, really like that tool. There's another thing called a shovel mate. A shovel mate is a bright yellow thing with a sturdy plate that attaches to both sides of a shovel at the place where you put your foot when you're digging. The shovel mate allows you to put more weight on the shovel, and it allows you to push down harder into the soil so you can get a bigger bite each time you dig. That's a really good thing. It's not really good for small, delicate kind of digging, but if you really want to turn some soil over quickly, a shovel mate is a great addition to your shovel to make the job easier. Quick connectors for your hoses are the next item suggested. I don't know how I'd get along without quick connects. They allow you to put a different kind of tool on the end of your hose for different purposes. You should, however, make sure that you invest in all the same kind of quick connects so that they will be appropriately interchangeable. I find that sometimes the plastic ones don't mate well with the brass ones and vice versa. So please look into the system you're going to use and stick with a system. You'll find that it makes your gardening much happier when you don't have to go look for something to help you unscrew it, something you've got put on the end of your hose. I also recommend wand sprinklers, the ones that have the long skinny tube with the sprinkler on the end. Those things are just wonderful. I don't know how I ever gardened without them. Real smart automatic hose reel is an interesting kind of idea. If you have hoses that are 100 feet long, you're going to need a device to help you coil them up nicely. And these reel hose devices are really very nice. You do want to make sure that you are using 5/8 inch hose on them rather than 1 inch hose, because it's going to be, the 1 inch hose is simply too heavy and it's what the machine won't hold up to it. If you're using hoses of 50 feet or shorter, I recommend hose tubs. They're kind of like rather flat bowls that you coil your hose up in. They're so easy and such a lovely way to keep your hose under control, especially if your hose is near a traveled area in your yard or landscape or on a deck or patio. These hose tubs are just really a nice thing. Something that's come on the market lately that's not mentioned in the book because the book's a little older are these collapsible hoses. If you like the idea of a hose that shrinks down to pretty much almost nothing when it's emptied of water, these are great because you can keep them in all kinds of neat and tidy places and just drain the water out of them. They shrink back down and you can put them away. Something else we would like to suggest that is not something we produce, but something that is a good book for all gardeners would be the Sunset Western Garden book. There's a volume, comes out about every, I would say, 8 to 10 years, and it is always a good resource to find out really local information about plants that grow in the West. So those are some good tools that make happy gardeners, as are mentioned in the book and added to by me. Next thing I would like to talk to you about in this book, and let me get the right page, would be designing your gardens, motherlode style. This is on page 192 in our book. And it talks largely about developing landscapes based on wish lists. What is it your family wants? What is it your family needs? If you don't have small children, you probably really don't need a lawn. If you do have small children, you absolutely need a lawn. Lawn is a perfect place for little children to play. If you have older children, you might need a little bit bigger lawn of coarser grass because they tend to play in a little more vigorous way than the little ones do. The lawn is also the perfect place if you want to have the summertime plastic swimming pool out for your kids. It's really important to consider that a lawn might be a useful thing for you. But if you're older and you don't have little children to consider, you might think that a lawn is not necessary, and you're probably right. You could replace the lawn with various kinds of native plants. The other thing to consider about landscaping in the motherlode is the great place to begin is with hardscape. Start with your sidewalks, with your driveway, with your decks, with your terraces. Get them where you want them. Decide how it is you plan to use them, and then install them. Then begin landscaping. There's nothing really much more disappointing to me than finding out that I'm having to rip out something that I had growing and it was doing very well because I've now decided that what I need there is a sidewalk or a terrace or some other, a tree, something. So please make your plans for the hardscape to start with, especially in a drought environment. It's really a great thing to do during the dry years when you can't plant as much as you'd like to. And then when the water's wet, like it's been this year, you can really have more fun with plants. So start planning early. Plan what you need. Plan what your family needs. Choose a style of landscaping that goes with your home. Decide if you want a butterfly garden or a pollinator garden, or if you need a horseshoe pit or a bocce ball court. Make all those decisions real early, and then you can design your landscape to fit them. Remember, too, that something you might want to consider in your landscape planning for the motherlode are water tanks. Many people are now installing water tanks to collect water off their roofs. You cannot legally collect water from a stream or any other surface other than the buildings that you have on your property. So if you have, say, a shop or a garage or even your house, you can collect water from those, store it in water tanks, and use that water to water your gardens. My husband and I have a shop building on our property, and we collect water on it. And last year we had enough water from just one side of the shop building draining into two large tanks that watered our orchard all the way until the middle of August. And this is a new young orchard that's taking quite a lot of water. We expect that that water requirement will double. So this summer we're actually putting in two more tanks that will give us all together 10,000 gallons of collected water, and that should carry our orchard for several years. So plan early and then do your design, with the plants and the things you want to incorporate. You can have some really beautiful gardens in this area simply by thinking about it and not just jumping in and planting everything that appeals to you. There are many things in California that are different from other places. One of those is that we really think you might want to plant many of your perennials and your trees in the fall, and that's because coming right up is winter time when plants are kind of, they look dormant, but they aren't. They're actually performing the great important duties of getting ready for the spring bud with the leaves and the new branches and all that. They're increasing their root size. They're developing system that pumps water, which hopefully comes along with the winter rains and moves up the plants and gives them the nourishment that they, well, it gives them the water that they need to create the nourishment they get by photosynthesis. And that's what they're doing in the winter. And you want it, that's why we recommend so strongly that you plant in the fall. We're almost all perennials and almost all shrubs and trees. So planning your garden also involves when you do things, and that's certainly a good time to do them. The Master Gardener book is available to the public. You can pick copies of it up at the University of California Cooperative Extension Office on Washington Street and at the Demonstration Garden on the first Saturday of each month when we have demonstrations at our garden, which is located just off Beretta Street and behind Cassina High School. If you go across Beretta Street, you will see our signs. We put them out. Please just continue to drive essentially due east and you will see the garden. It's a wonderful place to visit and you can get all kinds of wonderful information from real-life master gardeners who are there to help you. We would also love for you to have a copy of this book, and we think you would find it every bit as helpful as we do. In conclusion, I'd like you to reflect on the fact that our book also tells us how to get information from master gardeners. There's a whole thing in the back about our hotline and about the information tables. You would probably like to talk to us sometime because we're really kind of fun, and there's people who work at those tables are extremely well informed and knowledgeable. This has been Over the Garden Gate with a review of Sharing the Knowledge, a book of knowledge for gardeners in the Mother Lode, created by the University of California Master Gardeners of Tuolumne County. And I'm your host, Linda Reevely. Thank you. Appreciate your time and talking to you. And good gardening. Have a wonderful fall. Bye. You've been listening to Over the Garden Gate, a program presented by the UCCE Master Gardeners of Tuolumne County. I'm Linda Reevely. Thank you for being with us. If you would like to contact us for more information, remember you can contact our hotline, which is area code 209-533-5912, or you can look us up on the kaad-lp.org website. Look for Over the Garden Gate. Thank you.